This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
I'll tell you this about Kathy Griffin. She's horrific, and this whole thing with the president, I'm not a snowflake, and I will always respect freedom of speech, and I don't want her going to jail or anything like that. I'm not surprised the Secret Service talked to her, because if they didn't and then she did something, they'd be in a lot of trouble, so they have to. It's not really, I don't look at that as intimidation of an artist. I think, you know, if you arrest an artist, that's completely different. But if you talk to them and find out, I sort of think in this day and age, you're probably, if you're going to do something like this, you're going to get a visit. I mean, I think it's just common sense. It doesn't mean I particularly like it, but it is what it is. And I don't, you know, I disagree that this is some sort of intimidation meant to silence people. This was not, Secret Service never showed up at any, you know, at Alec Baldwin's house because they didn't like his Trump impression. There's a big difference, a huge difference between those two things. But for me personally, I am happy to see Kathy Griffin get so much grief over this. And I'll tell you why. Because back on January 8th, 2011, Kathy Griffin blamed Sarah Palin for Gabby Giffords' shooting. And to me, that is inexcusable. Sean Hannity was there today at the Talkers Convention. I'm in New York. I'm at the Talkers Magazine Convention. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. But Sean Hannity spoke today. And he wanted to thank you and everybody else who came out in his defense. And what I've often said about Sean is that this is a guy who is consistent with his defense of the First Amendment and freedom of speech. Sean Hannity, whether I agree with him or disagree with him, and clearly, you know, I don't agree with him on everything, I respect the fact that when Stephen Colbert made his sick joke about Trump and Vladimir Putin, that Sean Hannity, like me, like Rich Cioli, we both said, stop with the boycotts. He should not be fired. If you don't like it, turn it off. When Hannity brought up the Seth Rich investigation and whether or not you think he should have or should not have, it's not the point. A targeted group of Media Matters went after him to try to silence him. They don't like conservative talk radio, and they want to shut down people they disagree with. And that's wrong. It's completely wrong. And Hannity he doesn't have anybody from the left coming to his defense. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't heard Bill Maher come to Hannity's defense, even though Hannity was defending Bill Maher when people said they should do a boycott of Bill Maher for making an incest joke about the president and Ivanka. And Hannity defended him. And there were other times that Hannity defended Bill Maher. And there were other times that Sean Hannity defended even Michael Moore for his free speech rights. Yet these hypocrites never come out and defend our guys when they get in trouble. See, I'm proud to be consistent on this issue. I defend everybody, and so does Sean. I mean, you know, Hannity, to his credit, defends even those he disagrees with for their free speech rights. But then they come after him, and it's crickets from the left. So I hate hypocrisy more than anything. To me, it's an unforgivable sin. You can do a lot of things. When you're a hypocrite on something, you lose me. You lose me. And so I could accept an apology from somebody who realizes they did something that crossed the line, and for them, they feel terrible about it, and if it was sincere. But that's not what happened here with Kathy Griffin, and it's wrong of her to even pretend like it was. In fact, first of all, a little bit of history here. She called up this artist, this guy, this Shields guy, Tyler Shields, and he's the photographer behind the picture, and he says it's art. Shields said that Griffin initiated the talks that led to the photo, saying she came to me. She said she'd like to do something political. She'd love to do something that makes a statement. He added, it's always a collaboration. It wasn't completely her, but it wasn't completely me either. Without Kathy, I would have never done a photo like that. She's the only person I can ever see doing this. Not a lot of people are fearless enough to do something like this. Now, whether it's fearlessness or stupidity, or it's a level of bad taste, or a level of whatever it is, she's the only one who's done this. She did this to herself. She went down this road. Now, here's the problem. On January 8th of 2011, after Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot, Kathy Griffin tweeted out the following, and I'll read this to you. 5:13 p.m., I'm sorry, January 8th, 2011. Watching the news, Congresswoman in Arizona, who is on Sarah Palin's crosshairs map, was shot in the head today. Happy now, Sarah? With a question mark. Now, I've done a lot of political mail in my day, more so when I was, you know, working on campaigns. I don't do any more now. But political mailers for us in the world of political consulting it's our own art form. It's our own art form, and we take it very, very seriously. You design a really good mail piece or a really good commercial or a really good radio spot, it's a work of art. And the people that work on these things are creative digital artists. You know, I you go to a really good mail firm and you walk in to see their behind the scenes and you'll see young graphic artists there doing this kind of work, and they're very talented people. So you'll have a political consultant who will sit down and say, here's a vision I want for the ad. And then you run with it. So this Sarah Pack mailer was probably done by a young graphic artist who thought it would be wonderful to show the districts where House Democrats could lose. And she put these targets on the map, targets over their districts. It's time to take a stand. 20 House Democrats from districts we carried in 2008 voted for the health care bill, and they have targets, and they list the names. And one of the names on there is Gabrielle Giffords, AZ8. Let's take back the 20 together. Join me today, Sarah Pack. Now, there's nothing in words there that suggest killing these legislators, killing these congresspeople, doing any sort of a coup d'etat or anything like that. It's a work of art. Kathy Griffin blamed that graphic artist and the people behind that mail piece for the shooting of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. Kathy Griffin blamed the graphic artist behind the Sarah Pack mail piece for the shooting and the assassination attempt of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. So she was not defending free speech. She was not defending art. She was not defending artistic endeavors. She was criticizing it, condemning it, and worse, blaming it for violence. Some people are disgusted with her little stunt here for a variety of reasons. One of those reasons, which I've heard, is that what if somebody looks at that and then thinks it's okay to do that to the president? Now, you're not going to. The Secret Service is not going to allow that. But the point is it a trigger or inciting to somebody? Well, as you know, I am never a person who believes that free speech should ever be limited because of some wacko out there and what they might do in response. I have a long history of saying I don't believe that an individual who hears a word and acts, that it's on anybody but that individual. It's why I don't believe in movie bans, video game bans. It's also why I don't believe in gun bans either, because at the end of the day, it's on the individual. I blame the person who does the act. I don't blame other people. Even if that nut job who shot Gabby Giffords was in fact motivated by this mail piece, and by the way, he wasn't, but even if he was, I blame him. I don't blame the mail piece. I don't blame the movie The Matrix. I don't blame any of it. I blame the individuals. And yeah, there are sick people out there who are susceptible to thinking of things, but I'm not going to limit my speech because I'm worried about them hearing something they don't like. But is that how Kathy Griffin felt in 2011? No, it's not. In 2011, Kathy Griffin literally took that Sarah Pack mail piece and blamed the shooting of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords on that artistic endeavor and said that she was responsible. Even worse, happy now, Sarah, with an exclamation point. So now that Kathy Griffin understands how speech can, in fact, be a trigger, now that she's made that point, now that she's made that claim that speech can be a trigger, that speech, art, whatever you want to call it, can, in fact, be responsible for people committing acts of violence in our elected officials, I have zero sympathy for her now that she's getting all this backlash because of her crude depiction of the president being beheaded by ISIS. Now, had Kathy Griffin had a long history of defending free speech and not blaming other people for the actions of others and was sincerely apologetic and really wanted to, you know, yeah, she was wrong, that might be a different story. But that's not what this is. This is a giant publicity stunt for a woman who otherwise was never being talked about. It was planned out by an artist. It was methodical. And then the apology, as I also said, was fake. And then this little stunt today was done to also generate lots of publicity for her. Comedy clubs are canceling her comedy acts. And you know what? Some of them are citing safety concerns. Now, between you and me, I think that's BS. But let's go back to Kathy Griffin's tweet from 2011, where she recognized that certain images can, in fact, motivate crazy people to do things. And so Sarah Palin was at fault for the shooting of Gabby Giffords. So I guess theoretically, using the Kathy Griffin line of logic, it's right for those comedy clubs to cancel the shows because some nutty person may see that image of the president and come to the comedy club. And I don't know what. I don't know what exactly. I'm not good at making those connections, but Kathy Griffin is. Because she made it and blamed Sarah Palin for that shooting. So I have zero sympathy for her, and I will defend the free speech rights of those who are happy to defend the free speech rights of people like me. Kathy Griffin is not one of those people. I'll defend Bill Maher. I'll defend Hannity. I'll defend others. And I'm not equating them with Kathy Griffin, understand me. But I'll defend the people that don't blame words and art and pictures for the horrific actions of others. Kathy Griffin is not one of those people. Kathy Griffin is the opposite of those people. She is, in fact, a giant grandstander and a hypocrite and somebody who did the unthinkable, in my mind anyway, but certainly not in the eyes of the left, which is to blame Sarah Palin and an innocent graphic artist at a mail house for the shooting by a wacko of a United States congresswoman. All right, let's, and I want to get your reaction to all this, by the way, 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Let's hear her rambling nonsense here today. This is, we're going to start with Greg, 16?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with
I'm
that.
I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. He's a bully. I've dealt with older white guys trying to keep me down my whole life, my whole
you
career.
Know, all right, stop it right now. First of all, older white guys trying to keep you down. What is that? Older white guys? You got to make this it's a racial thing now and an age thing, by the way. Older white guys trying to keep me down. Keep going here.
I'm not afraid of Donald Trump. He's a bully. I've dealt with older white guys trying to keep me down my whole life, my whole career. I'm a woman in a very male-dominated field. I love what I do. I love making people laugh more than anything in the world. And I have learned over the years that sometimes when you do stand up, and I've done it in a war zone, and I've done it at Walter Reed Hospital, and I've done it at Carnegie Hall, sometimes people want, you know, a joke that's out there and a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that's what people want, you should have no problem, right? If that's what people want, you should have no problem. Why are you whining then? Why are you whining? Now, so she blamed older white men. She blamed Trump being a bully. She's blamed men. It's a sexist thing. She's a victim of sexism and ageism as well, apparently now. Cut 17.
What's happening to me has never happened ever in the history of this great country, which is that a sitting president of the United States and his grown children and the First Lady are personally trying to ruin my life forever. Forever. You guys know him. He's never going to stop. I know him. Trust me, if I could redo the whole thing, I would have had a blow-up doll and no ketchup. And I get what I am. I'm the shiny object. I get it. We all know what's going on here. They're using me as the shiny object so that nobody's talking about his FBI investigation. All right? I get it.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're the shiny object so that we distract from Russia. Again, she is a giant flaming hypocrite, but let's understand something here. The president is not trying to ruin your life, okay? Nobody ruins your life but you. That's on you. And if you own this and you say that you're going to be the anti-Trump person, own it. There's a huge market for it, is there not? I mean, look at Saturday Night Live, look at Stephen Colbert, look at all these different shows. There's a huge market for it, and here's what I think, Kathy Griffin. I think you try to do a shortcut to try to get into that market, to monopolize that market, because things weren't going well for you. So you called up an artist and you said, what is the most outrageous way that I possibly can get attention here and get noticed? This is the shortcut you took. And this is all part of you trying to build on your own brand here by having this whiny, rambling press conference. How is the president trying to ruin your life? How can a president ruin your life exactly? How does that work? If you're the anti-Trump person and he's coming after you, well, that just only helps build your brand, right? Which is why I'm calling BS on that as well. This is you trying to capitalize on all this is what it is. Which, you know what? Hey, nothing wrong with that. It's free market. But don't whine and act like you're the victim when this is a deliberate business decision by you to do this. Cut 18.
Kathy, you said you've been bullied by the Trump family. Have they reached out to you outside of social media?
I don't think they have to. My impression is that they have mobilized their armies or their bots or whatever they do. Like I said, it's quite clear to me that they're trying to use me as a distraction. And I'm not going to be collateral damage for this fool.
Kathy,
I think he's a fool. So I'm going to say I think the president
is a fool. We're sort of going around this way.
All right, so the attorney's trying to get her back on track. If you think he's a fool and you're proud of what you did, then own it. Why are you standing up there like the victim then? You own it. And what happened to the apology? Now it's not the apology anymore. Now it's everybody on it's everybody but you. Everybody but you. I'll play you the final when she chokes up here, and you can hear that after the news. I want to get your reaction to this. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Again, I have zero, and let me say this again, I have zero sympathy for this woman because she was one of the first ones to jump up and blame Sarah Palin and a graphic artist when Gabby Giffords got shot. So you know what, Kathy, as they say in life, karma is a giant you-know-what. As a woman, she was particularly offended by Kathy Griffin playing the female card. I thought that was an interesting piece, Dawn, when Michelle Malkin made that point.
Yeah, and I agree with her that women don't want that. You know, just don't play that card. Don't go there. I mean, why did she do this in the first place? She did this stunt because I think her career was dying on the vine anyway.
You're so very kind. I think it was dead already, yeah. To be honest with you.
DOA. So, yeah. I mean, so why did she do the stunt? Because her career was hurting anyway. And so I think these comedy clubs were going to quietly, you know, unbook her or whatever you want to say anyway. And I think CNN jumped at the chance because they, you know, they had her under contract. But that show that she was on, the New Year's show with poor Anderson Cooper, I mean, you feel sorry for Anderson with the two nut jobs. So seriously, I think people jumped at the opportunity.
That's a very good point. In other words, she's under contract, but every contract has a morals clause, which you can, right. You know, kind of invoke. They rarely do, but if they want to, they can always invoke it. Like, I'm sure when I said the mayor of Pittsburgh can go screw himself, I'm sure that they have ample, you know, room to fire me, but they don't want to. See, that's the point. They wanted to fire Kathy Griffin, so they were more than happy to jump at the chance, CNN, is the point. Is that a good analysis?
I think that's perfect.
By the way, the other nut job being...
Don Lemon.
Thank you. I was very, very much there. Thank you very much. Don
Lemon,
listen, that's what we expect of you. Nothing less. Greg, as an older white guy, how do you feel about being blamed for this as an older white guy?
I'm offended that you know, my kind is being, you know, thrown under the bus for her, you know, non-funny bit.
That's the other thing too. Why isn't she owning this? She's kind of owning it, but she's not owning it. Who's advising her is my point. Is this dopey attorney? I don't know if she's a dope. She might be very smart. I shouldn't say that, but is the attorney advising her on this, like from a career perspective?
Yes.
Is this to avoid being sued? I don't know exactly what the point of this was today.
In the press conference, she cites Lisa Bloom, and she also cites, she has a First Amendment attorney, she says, that she's been getting counsel from. So I guess between Lisa Bloom and this First Amendment attorney, they've been counseling her on what to do.
Okay.
So this
I'm
is
calling...
about money. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So it's about money. So in other words, her career was already on a downward spiral. She does this stunt in hopes of reviving her career, and it pushes it into a further downward spiral, and she needs money. So now she's lawyering up so that she can, what, sue people or sue these clubs or strong arm them to keep her booked or pay her
Interesting.
Off. I think it's about
Interesting.
Money.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really do. It's a weak, weak case. I mean, it's remarkable that she would go down this road. I call BS on having the First Amendment attorney because I think she wants to play up this whole the government's intimidating her speech nonsense. Listen, if the Secret Service talked to her, and I don't know if they did, I don't think anybody would think that was unreasonable to speak with them after the image. I think what people would question would be arresting her, and that has not happened here. And so you don't lawyer up. I mean, her lawyering up here, I think, is much more of a publicity stunt than it is in reaction to anything else. You know what I mean? Because if you lawyer up and the government's thinking about charging you, that's not going to dissuade them from charging you. She's standing there with a First Amendment attorney because she wants everybody to believe she's really being threatened and victimized by our government. And I'm just not buying it. Yep. I'm sorry I'm not buying it, you know? I mean, the Secret Service didn't arrest Madonna when she said she was going to blow up the White House. The Secret Service didn't arrest Snoop Dogg. Like, these are reasonable people who understand the difference between words and actual threats, which is what the legal threshold is. But when you stand there with a First Amendment lawyer and you get a big press conference about it and everybody's talking about it on a Friday, I guess you scored a small win, I guess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you have another thought on it?
Well, I also think, you know, you heard Artie the other day talking about comedians, and that there is a generational situation going on with what is funny and what is not funny. So for her to come out and do this outrageous, just disgusting thing that she did, particularly for millennials, they want nothing to do with it. And so even if an older age group seem to like Kathy Griffin, those millennials will shame on, you know, a mom or a grandmom or whatever to say, why, this is horrifying. So I just think nothing rings true that she's saying. The only thing that's funny is that she said, I should have come out with a blow up doll and ketchup. That might have been funny. The blow up doll thing. I don't know if another comedian said that to her, but she's just not funny. She's lost it. And this was a desperate attempt that failed horribly.
So you don't think millennials are big into the beheading comedy? You don't
think they're
like the...
No, I think anybody under... Seriously.
I'm joking.
Really.
I agree with you.
I'm joking.
I love that they're eating their own, too. I love that they're eating their own. I'm sorry.
I do, too. That's why I have zero sympathy for her based on this 2011 tweet about Sarah Palin, blaming poor Sarah Palin and this, you know, whoever did that mail piece for the shooting of Gabby Giffords. You know what? I have zero sympathy for you, Kathy Griffin. Zero. No, all right. Let's get some calls here. But no, it's interesting your perspective on the millennials, too, because, no, I don't think they're into jihad comedy at this point in their life. You know, call me crazy. But
particularly after the concert in the U.K. You know
right.
What I mean?
That's another.
Oh, my gosh.
Great point. Great point on that. All right. We have one more piece of audio, and then I want to take your calls on this. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. All right. The final piece of her whining victimization. Go ahead.
Do you have fear for your career after this storm dies down?
Absolutely. I don't think I will have a career after this. I think
you didn't have one now.
I'm going to be honest. He broke me.
He broke me.
And then I was like, no, this isn't right. It's just not right. And I apologized because that was the right thing to do and I meant it. And then I saw the tide turning and I saw what they were doing. And I went, oh, okay, they're trying to spin this and they're making it about Barron. And obviously that was never my intent. I would never want to hurt anyone, much less a child. But I started to see what was really happening. And then it was a mob mentality pylon. And so many people have expressed to me personally across the country at my shows, they're scared. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get arrested today. I don't know. But I have to stand up.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean about CNN firing you?
It's hurtful to me.
It's hurtful.
Yeah.
It's censorship. Is what it is. I'll say it more.
No, it's not.
She worked there for 10 years.
Look,
she was the best thing about New Year's Eve.
It's not censorship,
there's a bunch of old white guys trying to silence me.
Old white
guys. And I'm just
guys.
Here
right.
to say right. that's wrong. As you don't have to like me, but you shouldn't
racist.
Silence
right.
a comic.
As Larry King said, Ted Turner would never have done it.
Okay, so where are her fans? You know what? You know what? She had to explain where her fans were. Because where are her fans?
Well, she didn't have any fans.
Well, no, they're afraid. They're out there in droves.
Oh, right.
But they're
yeah.
rights of. Because I thought of that. I'm
calling
like, wait
BS
a minute.
On that, too. Mm-hmm. I might get arrested today. All right, if you do, call us. Let us know. If you get arrested, let us know. But I'm calling BS on that, too. And the other thing I'm calling BS on is when she stands up there and she goes, they're scared. They're scared to come out. Trump ruined me. He ruined me. I got news for you, Kathy Griffin. Some people are actually capitalizing on the anti-Trump comedy. You're not. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. What do you think the difference is, Kathy Griffin? Because, I mean, Colbert, it seems like he's doing fine, just fine. He's got a job. I assume they're paying him millions of dollars a year. I mean, certainly with the jackass Alec Baldwin, when he comes on Saturday Night Live, he's got a job. I assume they pay him a lot of money for that. It seems like there's money to be made in the anti-Trump tirades. But here's somebody else who uninvited you from something, and that's your old buddy Al Franken, another older white guy, probably because he's white he did it. He also canceled his appearance with you now in Minnesota for the Democratic convention thing, whatever they were going to do. So CNN, they fired you too. I'm sorry you feel like you're the giant victim here, but I sort of feel like you brought this on yourself, kiddo. All right, let's take some calls. Kevin in Chester County. Kevin, happy Friday. What's up?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. First, I just wanted to thank you for putting the perspective on the whole the Sarah Palin thing. And you're talking about, you know, this is not funny. And actually, it is. I haven't laughed this hard since election night watching everybody at the Javits Center. I mean, I'm just laughing my head off at her apologies and at her crying at the press conference. That's the funniest thing. So at the end of it all, there actually is some humor. And I'm actually enjoying that part. And I just wanted to chime in with that and thank you again for the perspective you added.
No, you're welcome, buddy. Appreciate the call. Thank you. I have zero tolerance for hypocrites. So if you're just joining the show, the reason why I'm saying this and not defending her any way, shape, or form is because in January of 2011, after Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot, Kathy Griffin tweeted out the following. Watching the news, Congresswoman in Arizona, who was on, capital letters, Sarah Palin's crosshairs map, was shot, all caps, in the head today. Happy now, Sarah? So she was blaming Sarah Palin for that act of violence. And I 100% reject that kind of nonsense here. Joe in Mount Laurel. Hey, Joe.
Wow. I mean, this circus is unbelievable. But I feel like my life, like I just want to grab a big, like, never-ending bag of popcorn and just sit and watch this craziness happen. It's like just nonstop. This woman, she's nuts. I mean, obviously, a little bit. But, you know, if you're in the workplace long enough, you have these people in your life around you that just never accept responsibility, right? Doesn't matter what happens. It's like that scenario where it's his fault, their fault. It's never me. You just never accept it. And like you said, own it. But I got to tell you, the crying part, I think that's a legitimate, I really screwed this thing up. My career is officially done. Even if it was just dangling at that point, it's over. She blew it. She blew the opportunity, you know, to say, listen, I own this. I made a mistake. You know, this is what I meant. And now you're left with nothing. So what do? You go out there and now she's trying to make this whole big, the scene. And that's all they're doing. Everybody's making scenes. There's no substance.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is that she didn't have a press conference today to further apologize, and she had a press conference to blame everybody and blame, and she's the victim, and blame. So to me, it's hard to feel sorry for somebody like that. It really is. Either you own it and you're the anti-Trump crazy, you know, you think jihadi art or whatever, or you say, I made a mistake and I screwed up and it's on me and I'll deal with the consequences of it. But then to come out and to say, nah, it's on me, but I'm the victim now. It doesn't work, you know?
Well, you make the ride home easier. Thank you very much. I got to tell you, I'm always looking forward to turning it on and getting involved in the next thing. So.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that, buddy. Have a great weekend. You know who else is turned on by the show is Mika Brzezinski. We have some exclusive audio of...
Wait, get me in trouble here.
Well, I don't know why that is.
It's Joe. It's Joe.
Okay.
It's Joe.
Oh, man. A little...
Anyway...
Peek into the world of... Wow.
Morning, Joe.
Rizzioli 3-6. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.